He joined the Navy. Him and my mother got divorced. And to go back a little farther, my grandmother got married when she was 15, I think. And my grandmother and my grandfather got divorced real early. And then my mother was working as a waitress. My dad joined the Navy. And when you're 16 years old and you're alone, things happen. And mom had some bad relationships. But then my grandmother and my grandfather lived in Burns, Oregon. And, well, I should say my great-grandmother and my grandfather lived in Oregon. And they got my mother and my stepdad acquainted, who was from Burns. And I remember we went out on the train. It may sound crazy, but the thing I remember most was bananas. Mom had bananas in a little case. It was about that big. And I remember on the train, she opened up that and gave me banana. We took the train all the way to the Oregon, and she met my dad, and then we went back to Colorado. And then romance must have blossomed. Because the next thing I know, he drove back and we rode all the way from Colorado to Oregon in a 1946, I think it was, Pontiac. And my mom, well, she didn't have to drive. But she was driving. And she got out in Oregon and come over a hill in the morning, and there was a whole herd of cows. And we got really acquainted with sagebrush. She drove off the road into the sagebrush, and my dad thought it was kind of funny. She didn't. So we made it to Oregon. They hadn't got married yet. They got married in the Grange Hall. And I was raised there on the ranch. I remember going to Sabbath school. You know those little papers in Sabbath school when your kid's in, you remember memory verses, and you go up and you put the little ducky and the little goose. And all. I still have them things. My mother saved them for me. I found them in a scrapbook. In what I'm going to tell you, there's kind of like the beginning. This is the beginning, and then I guess there's a departure. You know, I can't tell you exactly where that departure started. Somewhere, I think after my mother died, she died with polio when I was 5. And I'm not sure, you know, where it set in my head. Because I can remember as a child, I thought church was fun. Sabbath school was fun. I liked all those things. And then somewhere along the line, it got to be not so fun. And I think a lot of it had to do with and I'm not blaming anybody. It had a lot to do with my parents. Lay activities was exactly that. Home after church, eat dinner. Dad, can I ride a bike? No. Can I? No. Everything was no. I used to pray for the sun to go down. Oh, please. So I can do some fun. I hated it. Well, I went to school in Burns Grade School, rode the bus 20 miles each direction. Went to grade school, and, you know, if I would have just paid attention, if I would have just used my head, I graduated from grade school, which I guess you'd call now, well, the same school there now is a junior high. I graduated Outstanding Athlete of the Year. I had everything in front of me, and I could have been. But that old rebellion sets in. I went to one of our academies in Idaho, Gem State. They sent me to Gem State Academy, which is academy faculty's worst nightmare, to send me to academy. Because I went there, and I hated every rule they had. First of all, they told me I was dressed funny. I wore Levi's and boots and Western shirts and whatever, and they said, no, 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 no. You have to wear slacks and a sport coat. And I said, No. Yes. No. I wore slacks. I come from a public school. All the time. They said, you don't go anywhere holding your girlfriend's hand. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I was on social restrictions so much. I just got up in the morning. Dean said social. There was no question. Well, I was asked to leave a number of times. And the last time I left on my own, I knew it was coming. But, you know, the rules are there. You may not like them, and you may not agree with them, but do them. Later on in life, you're going to look back and say, yeah, pretty good idea. Not too bad. When they tell you, hey, you're going to school. I had a girlfriend for 2 years. Occupied most of my thoughts and my time and my energy. And I'm not giving you guys any ideas. This is at Gem State. I went to the old school at Gem State. My girlfriend, she was in the top floor. And I worked at the bakery in the morning. So I got up an extra half an hour early and I go over there. So Rock's up there and she'd open the window and we'd talk. So the dean was going to catch me. But there was a great big bush right by our window and I went out there and I cut the center out of it. I told you there's some things here I probably shouldn't tell you. And so when they'd come looking for me, they're going to catch me. They'd sneak out. I'd be in the center. And they're out there with a flashlight. I heard him. Where'd he go? And they'd leave, and I'd come back. Actually, the grass got pretty brown there over a year. I stood there for hours. But I couldn't obey the rules. I couldn't do what was right. I should have. Ended up that I had, and the people, the faculty, you don't know what kind of an impression you put on these kids. The one man that I remember was the farm manager, Mr. Muncy. And I think he had more common sense in his little finger than all the rest of them put together. But anyway, you guys will get a kick out of this. I mean, they got after me for holding hands. And I got kicked out, and I'm standing in front of the girls' dorm, and my girlfriend's standing there, and I'm getting ready to leave, and she's crying, and I'm mad. And the girls' dean's there, the boys' dean's there, Mr. Buncey's there, and he said, well, we got to go. Go ahead and give her a kiss goodbye. I thought the boys' dean, the girl dean, was going to have a coronary right there. So I did, and I went... And he drove me home, and I think it was 2 weeks that I was told, I took all my books, everything I had to do, everything, I was gone for 2 weeks. I came back, and managed to muster, I think I finished, I don't ask me, because a lot of this stuff is like, phew, I can't remember, I asked my wife, where were we at last year? I mean, I have a hard time with dates and times and places. But I came back my junior year. I could have been student body president. We could have been so many things. And I got through, maybe a couple months of, I don't remember. Into my junior year. And I left. I had a car, a 54 Oldsmobile, 2-door hardtop, 98, cool car, man. I kept it parked down. They wouldn't let us have it on campus. I had it parked down the street. I just went and got my stuff, threw it in and left. Because I knew what was coming. a lot of bad things happened. So I went home and I did a little bit of time in high school. Didn't really like school. Went to work for, like I told my wife, I have a hard time with the times, you know, where I'm going to her. I said, man, a lot of that time is just mumbo jumbo. I got to go back and tell you that I was about, my mom and I went to California to see my grandfather. I think I was about four. At 4 years old was the first beer I ever drank. I'd went up to the neighbor's house with a little kid up there, and his dad gave us all a glass of beer. Now, my kids, at least my Toby, my boy, he said, how could you drink that stuff? He's tasted, that's horrible. The first drink of beer I had at 4 years old, I loved it. I never forgot that. I liked it. And then, of course, it was then quite a little longer, but I remember when I left school. I can remember in academy, racing down the road with some boys drinking Lucky Lager and just doing all the things you shouldn't be doing. And after I went home, quit school, went to work. I worked for a ranch. I'll say one thing. My stepdad and I didn't get along, but he gave me a work ethic that I've never forgotten. No matter how drunk I got, no matter how things I did, I was there and I did my job every day and I worked hard. And I have never shrunk from that. But boy, did I try to drink the green front dry. And I mean, guys, I'm talking about, I got real nervous if I got down to a half a case of beer sometimes. Ooh, I'm getting short. Days I can't remember, nights I can't remember. Oh, you're having a ball? Well, you had fun. It's not much fun hugging a commode with your face in it. But we do it when we're out there, night after night. Oh, I'll never do this again. Oh, you know, the devil will never take you to the 13-mile limit. Just grab you and take you out. Because you would be screaming and kicking all the way, but he'll take you wading and he'll walk hand in hand with you. Yeah, ankle deep. He'll take you up to your knees. He'll take you up to your waist. He'll sing you songs and show you glitter. And the next thing you know, you are at the 13-mile limit. And you're drowning and he's laughing. And it'll happen to you so quick, you wonder what happened. We're dealing with an enemy that is ruthless, who hates you. Can you imagine that? Doing anything on his side for somebody that absolutely loathes your appearance because you're created in the image of God. And yet, he does everything he can to destroy us, to take us down. After I worked for different ranches and what have you, and I remember one incident. I was working for Pine Creek Cattle Company. Oh, I did all them Johnny Wayne things. We gathered cattle, branded. I mean, that's all we did, raise cows. I'd go up and spend all day. We'd take the horses up and we'd gather all the way back. That was a good life. I really loved every bit of it. But finally, I was at Pine Creek Cattle Company in there. Oh, this was before I turned 16. Had to have been because the truant officer came after me. And he came to the guy I was working for and says, I got to take him back. He's got to go to school. And the guy says, what for? He's going to be 16 in a few months. And Oregon law says you cannot make him go to school. You're just going to cause yourself headaches. So they left me alone. I worked different places. Frequented the bars. They all know, had to know how old I was. I mean, I was in the wagon wheel lounge when I was 17 years old. 16, 17 years old. But I'm telling you, my whole life was just one searching. You don't realize it. Even back then, raised as a Christian, you're searching. You're looking for something. You know what you're looking for. But you're looking for Jesus. You're looking for the peace that he gives you. You don't know it. So anyway, I joined the Marines. I got my draft papers. Who's going to draft me? fix you. I'll join the Marine Corps. Oh, I heard about it, but I didn't know about it. When I got off that airplane in San Diego, I found out about it. Went to Vietnam. Every time the club was open, every chance you get, that's where we were. I think the government, I think the military fostered alcoholism. I mean, they foster. I mean, it's to live to go to the club. That's what you live for. Get off duty, go drink. Pass out. Get drug home. I got drug up the stairs one night in the barracks, passed out. My head going boom, 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 boom up the steps. Couldn't wake up, couldn't figure why my head hurt. That's my buddies. Whoop, dragged me up the stairs. And we think we're having fun. And the devil's in the process of destroying us. I'm going to tell you, the devil can destroy you out there. He can destroy you in here. He don't care where he does it. He can destroy you kids right where you're at by being complacent. If I come here to tell you one thing, here's your main textbook. Not your biology book, not your geography book. All of that stuff is important. Here's your textbook for life. After I come back from the Marine Corps, I got married the first time. Was married 6 years. Had two children. There's a whole lot of that story that I won't go into. If kids want to know, want to come sit down and talk to me about it, I'll tell you. I just won't go into it right now. During that part of my life, I met Alice. And she met me, and it's amazing how God works. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't put you two together. You're both still married to somebody else. You're in the process of getting a divorce, and you're living together. God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, he will. He works with what he's got. Praise the Lord. So, she met me, or I met her, I don't know what. She come over and asked me to put shoes on her horse. I used to shoe horses some. Okay, I will. And I blew it off. I come home one day and there's a note in the fence. I don't know if we still have it or not. There was a note curled up there and it says, what did it say? How many times is a girl going to be stood up before she tells a guy to flake off? Woo! So anyway, I went over and put shoes on her horse, and thought I better get busy. So, I gotta tell you, when I first met her, we were in Kodiak, Alaska, and I'm looking at the clock. They have cattle that run. They ran on the beach while, and they gathered all the cattle, and they were in the corral there at the fairgrounds, and the people that had them asked me if I would come down and earmark them and all the other things that goes with it. And I said, sure. And that's her dad was there. She met me and she said to her dad later, I cannot stand that guy. Not true. Moved in with me 2 weeks later. Or close. She had two kids and I had two kids. One big happy family. I guess the most important thing of this whole story is that we met. We were baptized. We got married. Pastor thought that'd be a good idea before we got baptized. Kind of narrow-minded, some preachers are. So, we've been together 31 years. You know, in 31 years, you can be an Adventist. You can be a Nazarene. You can be a Christian. You can be a so-called Christian. You can come to church. You can do all the things. And I did for... I mean, yeah, we had high times and low times. We went to camp meeting. We had... One time we came back and my wife and I, we cried from Palmer, Alaska, all the way home. Wept, tears streaming down our face, the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. You have your high times. But then you get caught up in the rhythm of life, in all the things, and you begin to do things kind of by rote. You go to church, you do whatever, da-da-da-da. And you do it, and then comes Sabbath. You're a Seventh-day Adventist, right? You get ready to go to church, come back. Well, the sun's going to go down. We can go do... We can't wait. We shouldn't be able to the point we can't... We don't want the sun to go down. That's where we need to be. We want to be at the point where, oh, man, whew, I don't want this to end. So I guess I got about 3 minutes left. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is prayer, Bible study, get to know Jesus. For 30 years, and not until just Alice and I tell you, the last year, have we begun to find the Lord. And He's an awesome God. Can you imagine the creator of the universe who spoke worlds into existence? Who when He was bored, and I know God don't get bored, but He says, I need another galaxy. Came to this world. The created. Born of the created. Nursed at the breast of a created being. The creator of the world. Came here to save us. And He'd have done it for just one of you. If you guys don't do anything else for me, do me a favor. Commit yourself to 30 minutes, 15 minutes, I don't care. Get this book out and read it. My wife can tell you, she's been going some stressful situation. She'll get the Bible out and start reading. Excuse me. I don't care if it's the, what did you say? The genealogies. Begot. I don't care. Read God's Word and pray. Every single morning and every single evening. And your life will change. Your life will become... And sometimes it don't happen. Boom, overnight. But you just keep at it. Nothing else matters. Brushing your teeth. I don't care. Even getting to class on time. Don't throw stones at me, teacher. But it's more important on your knees for 5 minutes in the Word than anything else you'll do while you're at school. There is nothing that supersedes that. Jesus said, I will complete a work in you that I begin. You don't have to worry about it. Say, oh man, look at me. Well, don't. I'm glad none of you can look at me and see what I really am. And all I really am is just an old sinner saved by grace. Just like you. So just do me a favor. Spend some time in the Word and prayer. And of course, you can't help but witness. You can't help it. It'll happen. When the Lord starts speaking to your heart, things get prioritized. Youth's fleeting, guys. Right now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people aren't, we're not all beautiful. God looks at us all as we're beautiful, but you guys are beautiful. You're young. You got all the energy. But every decision you make in your life from here on out, well, like it says, you're masters of your own destiny in the sense that you make choices. And the choices you make will decide what path you walk. So just do me a favor. Just make an agreement with me that you'll spend time here. And on your knees. Thank you.